working up and not feeling calm already.
Okay.
Yay.
Let's look now at the inner alchemy. So here we've been on the journey of the stages, which just again that recap of, you know, it began with calcination. Calcination is the element of fire. So it works through the four elements first. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in order to break down the form, because our matter, our form, is constructed through the elements. And in order to dissolve, in order to make a new form, then we have to bring those elemental energies to shift the form. So calcination is that first event, the fire. It's usually an event that is attracted to us in some way, affecting any part of the body, whether it be physical, emotional, mental. You know, it can be a spiritual, soul aspect. You know, any. It can bring it to any level, sometimes to them all. So this is the cracking of the vessel, that first transformation that needs, sometimes the vessel needs to break. We need to break down in order to create a new form in some way. The second, then, once the vessel is broken, what comes up next is dissolution. This is water, purification by water. Because when the vessel gets broken, the first thing is the energy releases. You know, if you break an atom, what do you get? You get a big rush of energy. You know, that. So you break a form, then you get an outpouring of the energy that held that form. So we experience this energy as emotion. Energy is in motion. So usually there's a rush of some kind of emotion that accompanies after that calcination event. So, and the idea or the usefulness to be in that situation is to keep, to observe the movement of the emotion, to manage it as best you can, to keep it within that window of tolerance so that it's not so much that it's, you know, taking you away and damaging you, but it's not so little that it's not actually creating any change. So, you know, it's trying to ride it and keep it as much as we can, steering our way through that pathway of movement. But the idea is keep it moving. Because once you keep it moving, it'll get to a point where it'll start to settle. And when you get to that settlement, you're actually into the next stage. And this is separation. So this is purification by air. So here now we're into the mentality, the mental body. So we've gone from the physical and the calcination, spirit with the fire, the emotion with the water, the mental body now with separation. So the separation is really where things are starting to settle. So the dense bits that have been broken up start to move to the bottom. We get clarity and we start to be able to see the layers. So on the other side of this event, this is the best time where we can get most clarity about what happened. What was triggered? What did I feel? What did I notice? You know, what led me to this cycle? Have I experienced it before? You know, all of that kind of inner inquiry, this is the time. On the other side of the emotion to get some clarity. From that clarity, we move into the next stage, which is conjunction. This is purification by earth. So conjunction is where we actually, you know, start to go put things back together again and go, okay, maybe this is my new form. The new form, usually because of what we learned, what we perceived, or, you know, what intelligence we got out of that event, out of the clarity, we can put new things into play. We can go, oh, okay, I notice a pattern here, so maybe I need to address that, you know, print myself with a new pattern. I might use affirmations, I might, you know, a range of other skills to bring a new action into the mix, because it's only by having a new action that you can get a new result. You know, the old story, if you plant the same seeds in the garden, you're always going to get the same crop kind of thing. You need to plant new seeds to get something new. So conjunction is where you're putting things into place in order to create a new result. So you, it's like, a, again, it's a practice, and it's not a one action, but a continuous action. The many small actions moving in the same direction, so moving with the same intention of what I'm wanting to create. The actions themselves may not be the same, but the intention of what I'm wanting to create is. And so it's those, I keep moving, going, modifying, putting things together, putting things into my life, new actions to make me a new pathway. So these were the four elements. Sometimes we only get that far. And sometimes at the end of conjunction, when we think, yep, I've got my new pathway happening, then we can get very complacent. And often with that complacency, we take our eye off the ball. And before we know it, we fall back into old patterns and we find ourselves back at number one again, going, I've been here before. And we go back through that cycle again. The difference between number four and number five being fermentation, this is a difference because instead of the little individual symbols of alchemy, it's the combined symbol. So here now we have the unified elements. So when the elements are all unified together, it looks like the six-pointed star. Because you've got, you know, that element, and you can see the one with the line. So, you know, that's why the six-pointed star is the alchemical symbol for unity, because it's a unified elemental structure. So from this symbol of unity, then Hermes, in his teaching about alchemy, said these last three stages sit with the first principle of Hermetic law, which is, you know, as within, so without, as above, so below, as with the universe, so with the soul. These are the teaching of one of the first principles of alchemy. And so fermentation is that first part, as within, so without. So it takes the difference here. Fermentation feels a little bit like calcination, because again you're bringing fire, but instead of this fire being an external triggering, the fire has come from within. It's the fire of your will that has got to the point that it's been around the cycle so many times, it's going, enough, I don't want to go there again. What sits beneath this that is causing me to continue going on this? So it's where you bring and they say this is kind of like the dark night of the soul, where you take your courage and you start journeying into your own shadow and your own darkness to actually find the deeper beliefs, the deeper causes, those deeper misalignments in many ways that are constructed within our being, that we wish to actually, to realign, to bring to a new harmony, to come to a new level of knowledge and integration. This is the process of fermentation. So it's where we take the will of our inner fire and we go inside and we start fermenting. We start looking for what sits behind that, what else is there. And so we start an inner cooking process of bubbling in on the inside now. And so understanding that as within, so without. So as I find what is within, I understand this is what's attracting things from me in my outer world. My outer world experience is because of the things that are on my inner world experience. And sometimes, you know, we are such a complexity in our inner world, because we're not just a one thing. You know, we have to appreciate that, you know, the body vehicle, this comes from an ancestral line of information. It's made of the DNA of our ancestors. It's come from our mother line and our father line. It holds a whole light library, which is just simply in the DNA codings of all of that lived experience. Some useful, some not so useful. This is why we have prints that we play through, which are the influence of our ancestral prints. Yeah, we have soul. Now, the soul itself has, the soul is a multi-structure. It has a dominant soul. The dominant soul is it's come from, you know, previous lifetimes that we've, you know, what we've managed to integrate into that soul body. But each time it comes in, it also attracts other soul aspects, which often we discover them like personalities. It's like we have multiple personality types. And different parts of us are in the driving seat of ourself at different times, and we can experience that. We can experience times when we are that, you know, that strong, rah, mother, and, you know, that's it, I'm going to, you know, no one get in my way. And then equally, you know that might be there at 10 o'clock in the morning, but by 1 o'clock we're actually, yeah, I'm actually in my loving self and I have compassion for all beings and great understanding. And then by the afternoon it's like, oh, I just want to play. I just want to. So we have all of these different parts of ourself, which are part of our soul growth, because the soul comes in with these many aspects. And our journey, again, is to integrate them, these different soul parts, to create a more larger, evolved, integrated soul, which we'll talk a little bit more about as we go along. But all of these different components bring different parts of consciousness within ourself. And sometimes they're not harmonious. Sometimes certain of our personalities fight with other parts of our personalities, and we experience inner conflict. Often our inner conflict is what we see mirrored in the world outside of us. Sometimes what we're perceiving and how we perceive it is a result of actually also is the mirror for what actually is happening on the inside. And as we journey to resolve these inner conflicts, then we also journey to resolve the outer conflicts. And this is the teaching of as within, so without. This then takes us to distillation, which is what we did last time. This takes us to the next part of that hermetic teaching, which is as above, so below. So distillation, so after, you know, things have been fermenting, bubble, bubble inside, then it's that what rises out of that fermentation mixes with higher energies. So these higher parts rise and they connect by, again, law of attraction, but to higher information from the ethers, from higher mind, from whatever, depending on how high we can get to. And then that new light information is attracted to those ethers. And then as it condenses again, then we end up with an essence of ourselves, which is not only us, but we have managed to attract higher information about what it is that we were journeying on. And this is actually how we grow our consciousness, because, you know, as Einstein said, you know, you can't create new consciousness with the same consciousness that you have. You have to attract something higher to interact with in order to give you the light codings that allow you new perception. Expansion. You know, we have to hold more light, become enlightened in this way. And so distillation is this process of being able to go up and bring it down to be embodied again. And when we embody it, how do we embody it? We have to be able to give it some kind of action. We have to be able to live it in our life to actually embody it, because otherwise it can just make us feel ungrounded because we're always caught up in the ethers. Or we can go into a resistance to it, because often when higher things come back in, it'll actually cause shifting and realignment inside, which is uncomfortable. And sometimes we'll shut ourselves down at that point because it's like, oh, I don't want to go there. It doesn't feel good. But it's that process of being able to, you know, as high comes in, low comes out. And it's being able to, again, just simply stay with that watcher observation and going, okay, this is leaving, but that's good. It's because this has come in and now I've got a new perception about it. So you've got that higher wisdom that starts to come in. So this is distillation, bringing us today to coagulation. All right, so coagulation is the last step in this 7-stage alchemical process. And coagulation is the where that fluidity, understanding that alchemy is, you know, coined by the phrase solve de coagula, so to dissolve in order to reform. So in order to dissolve and reform, finally, this is the reformation. The coagulation is not the same as conjunction, because conjunction is where you're putting new habits along with the old. You're joining them, yeah? Coagulation is different. Coagulation is where you've achieved that complete fluidity through your distillation and now is coagulating back into solid throughout your form. So it's not this and that, it's this throughout. Yeah, it's integration. Integration of what you have achieved through this process of alchemy. And within the Hermetic principle, it sits with, as with the universe, so with the soul. That this is the bit that characterizes coagulation. So again, it's the recognition that our journey is actually a soul journey. We do it within our bodies. Our bodies is the vehicle through which we can process and experience and cook it and contain it and all of that. But what is actually eternal, the bit of us that is the divine aspect coming to know and grow itself through all of these experiences, this is the soul. It's the bit that reincarnates again and again and again, ideally adding to itself through each journey so that the soul evolves and becomes a more complex, integrated, wise aspect of ourself. Through the time that we've come through, you know, in the last 23,000 years, we have been on a separation of the soul. So our soul has been devolving instead of evolving. Through the trauma of war and subjugation and many, many things like this, these horrors and shocks, etc., these events have caused a lot of soul separation, where bits get fractured on the soul. And so when we're returning back into that collective soul, the bits of soul have been getting smaller and smaller instead of larger and larger. And this is where we find ourselves now. It was interesting, I was listening, I get Falco in his talk about soul from the philosophical school of Damenhur, talks about that one of the indicators of the de-evolved soul is overpopulation, because there need to be so many bodies in order to house all the soul parts. And that as we evolve our souls, we will naturally reduce population because we won't need as many bodies to give home to the souls. We will actually, again, the souls will become more collaborative. We will live longer. We will come back to a state of balance in this way. So an interesting idea. So this level it's all to do with integration. So we've coagulated and integrated to come to a new level. So it's kind of like where we've come to from all of that inner work and that shifting, etc. We have now got our new form, and this is now our new foundation from which we launch ourselves into the next cycle. It's not like that you've finished and that's it. You've got enlightenment, you're done. Always we're working through cycles. And so each one brings us to a new level. And once we can hold it, that's our foundation. And so then we go from there and we grow and learn again to get to the next level. And we continue to cycle this way through dimensions ideally until we return back to the one of all. So this increasing integration, we experience it at the level of body, mind, and emotion. And so an example of that if the thing that caused your initial calcination event, that caused you to be triggered and you reacted and, it led you into this cycle. If you have got through this process and you've integrated the changes and you've gone through all of those things that I've talked about, the evidence of coagulation is that you have gained this, you've achieved more self-realization. So therefore you've achieved a level of awareness. So instead of moving immediately into reaction and triggering, you have gained yourself a window of awareness. Now, it's not to mean that you won't necessarily feel the same things again. The difference is this window of awareness. It's kind of like, so when that thing happens again, you'll still, you know, feel it, and you may, you know, get a reaction, but instead of automatically going down the rabbit hole with it, you get that moment of going, ah, it's this, and what can I do? Yes, I've already learned, you know, I've already in myself investigated that I can do this, I could do that, I can do this, you know, this can take me, you know, help to me to navigate it, it can help me release the emotion of it, it can help me to perceive it. So you win yourself the gap of awareness, and in that gap of awareness, you have free will. You have won yourself the freedom of your will to choose. You may choose to just go and do what you did before, sure. You might choose something different. But what you've won is the awareness to choose. Coagulation is like, this is the growth of your free will. It brings you enough awareness that you have choice instead of reaction. And this is how we gain ourselves back. Because we're moving ourselves into more choice and less robotic reaction.
Can I just add a little disclaimer, but in between stage that, sure, you know, I've been through, is that the reaction will be there and I'll be wanting to make the other choice and really trying and still actually having the sort of this, even that stage.
Yeah. But it's practice, but you'll just practice it again and again. And each time your tools get stronger. As I said, how can you grow the tools if you don't get any practice? You know, life is very accommodating, I find. In whatever you're learning, it will give you practice so that you can actually apply your tools. Because how do they? Practice makes perfect. And yes, the difference is that you can see it. And that's really the big thing. It's the awareness. That's what you've won. You've got a moment. And it usually is just a moment. And if we don't make an action, then yes, it can just take us anyway. And that's fine. You know, at least we saw it. And gradually you're able to widen the gap of the moment.
May I say that if you're in community and you're open to somebody else noticing, that's also very helpful. Mm-hmm. You don't notice if it's in the nicest possible way.
Yes. And this is trust. So that you're trusting the others to give you a response, not because they're trying to attack you or anything, but simply because they love you and are wanting to help. And as we open ourselves to one another in this vulnerability, then yes, this is why they say you can always grow faster spiritually when you live within community of conscious people, because you are more conscious mirrors for one another, and there is a wish to help rather than diminish. So, you know, the purpose of, you know, the seven stages of alchemy, you know, it's a natural process. At this seven-stage process, this hermetic description of alchemy, is actually, equates to evolution. It is actually how we evolve. And in fact, it is the evolution of all organic forms have this kind of process. They all have a form. It's kind of like a birth and death process. They are form and reform type process. This is how plants and animals can also evolve themselves to adapt to new environments, to new places. They go through the same alchemical process as what humans do. That all organic forms do. It is a natural process for evolution that this gives description to. The more we can perceive it and understand it, to work with it, and as we've gone through each of the stages, we've looked at, you know, what are the limitations, what slows us down, what are the actions, what can help us through it, and as we can recognize where we are in this process, and truthfully, we're probably, halfway through things with some aspects of ourselves and all the way through in other aspects of ourselves. We may not have just one process going on. Just as we have multiple personalities, we may actually be going through multiple processes. You know, there might be more than one thing transforming in us at a time. You know, it can be a heavy journey, but it's true that I would say, you know, some people are thrill seekers. They came down with a very big soul package and said, okay, when I'm down here, you know, I've ticked at least 5 boxes that I'm going to actually do, and I'm just in there doing them all. And, you know, you just look at their life and go, oh, my God, you know, how are they managing that? But, you know, some have come to, yeah, do that big soul journey and to work on many things. And so sometimes we look at ourselves and within that spectrum of the stages going, oh, yeah, I can see, you know, I'm at this level with this aspect of myself, but at this level with this aspect of myself. And so sometimes it can actually even be multiple things happening. But beyond all of it, the overriding force of evolution, it's unity. As Hermes said, as with the universe, so with the soul. What is the soul trying to do? The soul is journeying back to oneness. It's journeying back to be with the universe, the one-verse, the totality. So the soul will continue to give us our, attract our experiences and our lessons and the things that we've come to learn. Why? So that we can grow and integrate these aspects and come to a greater level of wholeness or a bigger level of complexity where the soul aspects, they all learn how to work together. Even if initially they were warring, even if they are polar opposites in type of personality, which absolutely can happen, it's in the end, it's like managing a team. Every part of you has useful and not useful characteristics. What do we learn? We learn how to manage the team. We learn how to consider all the players and negotiate our way through in trying to mitigate the less useful aspects of ourselves. And utilize more of the, more useful aspects. So it becomes a management of ourselves. And this is why when the Oracle of Delphi was asked, what is the purpose of humankind? The answer was to know thyself. Because how can we be the manager of that team and integrate and actually consciously choose who's playing which part to meet this, you know, thing as we navigate through life? How can we do that if we're unconscious of what is within us? So each of these experiences, this self-realization, this awareness, what is it bringing awareness of? It's bringing awareness of this multi-conscious parts of ourselves, this great team of players within ourselves, to understand all of the nuances, not just within the soul, but also within the body. Because in the end, we have to embody it. So we have to play it through our vehicle. And in the playing of it through our vehicle, we divinize the matter. We are able to take these great forces of consciousness and bring it into the world of form. We divinize our own matter. We actually change the vibrational aspects or the codings of our DNA. And, you know, in the science of epigenetics now, they show that this is so. They show that DNA, which they once thought was a fixed thing, is not so. That this is the whole thing behind biology of belief. Going, oh my goodness, as we change our states, we actually affect the light codings that are in the body. And that these light codings that are in the body also affect others who have similar DNA codes. And so this then becomes where you're doing work and they talk about we're healing our ancestral line, you know, back and forwards into the future. because you have changed the very coding within the DNA, and that those who share that same aspects of DNA with you also get shift, because the harmonics, the resonance field of energy talks to each other, and all the things shift to an extent. And so it becomes, then we start to understand this other thing of going, the inner world transformation is how we change the outer world. It's how we change the collective. This is why not every human has to be doing the journey of consciousness in order for the consciousness field to shift. This is why a percentage of the human collective are doing this inner work, because they are able to shift collectively through this resonance many others by their own inner work, because it changes the harmonics of all those others who share DNA patterns, which are the same as you, which in this day of widespread mixing of population is actually, it's a lot more widespread than you think. You know, you're affecting people in probably countries all over the world that you don't even know of that hold similar DNA codings to what you do because of your ancestry and the great mix of that, and knowing it has mixed for a long time from, many, many levels of star being, races and beyond. So this is what they call is the great work. The magnum opus is what's the work of alchemy, of inner alchemy is called. And they go, it's called a great work because it is a great work. It takes a great deal of work. And that, great things can be achieved. And in the work of the ancient alchemists, you know, it wasn't just that they sat there, you know, mixing up their brews and seeing what they could create. All teaching within alchemy understands that when you're working with two elements, there's always a third vector, and that is the consciousness of the person who is doing the experiment. You are always the third. You are always the magician in this. It is through your will that the intention for what is created is brought into being. And this is why, you know, again, the idea behind we are creating our reality. Well, yes, because we are the player within this world of matter, which is doing all of this, where we're learning and growing, we're mixing higher things into this mix, we're then creating it into matter, bringing it into our form, sharing it through our music, our speaking, our writing, our art, our dance. You know, we bring it into our world, we share it with others, and through this vibrational shifting, you know, we shift the consciousness of the collective, and everything evolves. And this is great work. And this is also the aspect, you know, they say, you know, this symbol we've been working with within alchemy, its other name is the symbol for the Philosopher's Stone. The Philosopher's Stone, of course, was also an ancient concept which held aspect of connection to the Grail. And this mysterious, you know, what is the Grail? This sense of this Grail being like a very high force which helps us to evolve, that seemed to come from the very core of creation itself, and that has come through different forms through history. And they say that, you know, we are in a time of the sixth onset of the Grail, that the last time it came, the form that it filled was that of the chalice. And so this was the, you know, the search for the Holy Grail, was it looking for a chalice kind of, you know, object as a form that Grail could relate to. But, you know, the mythology of this time is that this time we are the Grail, the human is the Grail, and all the myths and legends around that talk about this time, this force that's propelling our evolution is a force that we will find within, and it's taken within. Again, you know, Falco within Demonherd talks about the characteristic for this Grail. Often it's sickness, because in sickness it reduces our distraction by the outer world, and we actually take all our focus within. And in this ability to overcome, to transform ourselves, to heal ourselves, we actually connect to this elixir of life that is able to enlighten us from within, and therefore transform our world by, again, transforming our inner world to transform our outer world. And this is the magic of this point. So coagulation, you know, it's the integration of the work. It's the new foundation upon which you stand ready for your next cycle. And it is very much, you have won yet another notch towards the application of your free will. You know, freedom is the ability to free the will. So it's our ability to choose, instead of having life choose us and influence us and affect us. It's where we make that space and go, I choose how I feel. I choose how I think. I choose how I act. And this choice is then that this is my freedom. I free myself from the influences that are around me. So I can feel my inner truth, and I can divinize my own matter in this way, and therefore bring this divinity into the world. Through our ability to choose. And what are we in a time of? We are very much in a time, again, if we're talking about the inner landscape and the outer landscape, then you would have to say the outer landscape is absolutely reflecting this taking away of our will. And sometimes we have to feel like we're losing something in order to really value it. And maybe this very thing that feels like it's taking away our freedom will push us into our inner landscape, where we'll actually choose the real freedom, which is where we can free ourselves from tyranny from within. And this, of course, then is our ultimate freedom, because, it's the only place it can actually happen in the end.
Transform the outer world.
Of course, as I say, you transform the inner world to transform the outer world. And this is the teaching of alchemy. So that's kind of where we're at with that.